Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the Audio Devar Torah with Reb T, the show where we talk a few minutes on the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. We now call it the mini lecture series, so it might be a little more than a few minutes, but we try to give some lessons and some inspiration, some ideas based on a passage or a pasuk from the Parsha. This week is Naso, and based on some sources from Chabad.org many times. Tonight we are using Chabad.org. The pasuk says in 5:15, Hey, Tedvav. Here we are in Parshas Naso, talking about the Isha Sota. He shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah or barley meal. So the Talmud and Sota picks up on this and says, why does she get the barley meal? Why is it such a crazy situation, such a graphic thing that she eats this crazy concoction, she drinks this crazy mixture, and if it's true that she was unfaithful to the husband, the whole stomach explodes, a crazy situation. So the Talmud and Sota says she acted like an animal, therefore her offering is of animal feed. The Tanya picks up on the idea of the basic tenet that we have two aspects to us, two souls kiviyachal, two competing parts, two competing personalities within our being. There's the nefesh habahami, the nefesh habahami, this animalistic part of us, the animalistic soul, as it were, which basically all creatures and all beings in this world have, and the nefesh hasichli, or the actual nefesh, the actual soul, the spiritual part of our being, the spiritual part of our existence. And the Tanya says it better than I could ever say. Every Jew, whether righteous or wicked, has two souls. One soul clothes itself in the person's blood to animate the body and is the source of its egocentric drives and desires. And the second soul of a Jew is literally a part of God above and is the source of the person striving to unite with God. The body is called a small city as two kings wage war over a city, each wishing to capture it and rule over it, that is to say, to govern its inhabitants according to his will so that they obey him in all that he decrees for them. So do the two souls, the godly soul and the vitalizing animal soul of the body that derives from Kalipa, wage war against each other over the body and all its organs and limbs. You have that it's a crazy concept what Hashem does. He gives us the animalistic part of us, the physical part of us, the body that is so animalistic, so full of desire, so full of passions, urges, and needs. And then you have the nefesh infused inside of us, the tzelem Elokim, the spirit, the soul, the actual craving for nourishment of spiritual matters, the ruchnius, and the body is the gashmius. The desire and will of the godly soul is that it alone should rule over the person and direct him, and that all his limbs should obey it and surrender themselves completely to it, become a vehicle for it, and serve as a vehicle for its 10 faculties of intellect and emotion and 3 garments, thought, speech, and action, and the entire body should be permeated with them alone, to the exclusion of any alien influence, God forbid, while the animal soul desires the very opposite. So basically, within us, we have two competing factors. We have two competing aspects always fighting within us, always trying to get our attention. It's as if we have two little voices. It's almost as if we have the good side, the Yetzer Tov of the Nefesh, and then we have the Yetzer Hara of the Gashmius of the body. They're always fighting with each other. They're always competing. It reminds me, Lahavdil of those cartoons, those movies when you see the red guy on one shoulder and the white guy on the other shoulder, obviously showing the evil side versus the good side. What we're here to do in this world is to find our mission, to find our purpose, and to fine-tune our midos, to change our character traits, to change the bad aspects of us. We have to take everything material, we have to raise it to the spiritual. That's the whole idea of so many of the mitzvot that Hashem gave us. Why do we do kiddush? Why do we make brachos on food? Why do we make brachos on davening? We're taking every mundane thing We're taking every materialistic thing and we're trying to raise it to the level of Kedusha. We're trying to sanctify it. The whole idea of marriage also is taking something very, very involved in in an act that wouldn't seem to be holy, and we're raising it to a very, very holy existence, uniting the husband and wife through the Taharat HaMashpacha, through the Nida cycle, a beautiful way of bringing together the husband and wife in a beautiful manner. Kadosh is very close to Kedesha. Very interesting, I once was pointed this out in a shir by a sage, by a commentary, I don't remember where, but Kedesha was the way of talking about Azona, because she takes the beautiful holiness of the idea of two people coming together and destroys it. But Kedusha, when done in the right way, you insert the Vav, you insert the Hey, you insert the Vav, and you take Hashem's name and you spread it out over the word, putting Kedusha with the Vav and the Hey instead of Kedesha, which is missing that Vav. It's not a complete way. It's a debased action. It's an animalistic way of going through things. So you have those laws. They might be very difficult. They might seem very hard. And Chas and Kal classes have to go through the classes to understand it, but it's a beautiful way of bringing something like that to a beautiful high spiritual realm and putting the two people together in a beautiful manner. The whole Kedusha and Erusin ceremony is a beautiful way of taking an aspect of life, a very important aspect of life, and sanctifying it for a beautiful reason. When we say Kiddush, another way of sanctification coming from a different aspect, when we say Kiddush, we're taking the wine, we're taking the grape juice, we're taking something very mundane, something very basic, and something very something that's just a regular item. It's just grape juice. It's just grapes that was made into a drink. But we make a bracha on it. We sanctify that and we clarify and make the day revolving around such a drink. We take that drink and we bring it into the sphere of the spiritual. We bring it into the sphere of how we can make it sanctified. We take challah. We take bread, which reminds us of the man in the midbar. The man was enclosed in two levels. That's why we are supposed to put something under the bread and above the bread. Just like the lechem upanim also, which was replaced every week on the shulchan and the mishkan and the Beit HaMikdash, that it was enclosed above and below. The man was enclosed in two layers. The man had like a little bit of water underneath it, then the man, and then a little bit of water above it. So we have the challah cover, and we're supposed to have a tray underneath it with the bread in the middle. It's a way of understanding and sanctifying bread. Bread is just bread. Hamotzi lecha min haaretz. It's a grain that is ground up into dust, into flour, and it's made into bread. But bread is not just bread. When bread becomes challah, it becomes something for a mitzvah. It becomes something that could be sanctified. That's the whole essence of what we're here to do. We have to take the gashmius. We have to take our debased selves, our animalistic selves, and gear it towards the spiritual. Gear it towards the nefesh. Anything we have in this world, we're supposed to gear towards the spiritual, supposed to gear towards the Torah aspect. I mentioned this before. I always like to repeat ideas and reiterate things and do chazar on things that I feel like are very passionately important to myself and are good to respond and share with everybody else. When you have this technology, when you have this ability, it has to be used for good. Everything out there, our bodies included, can be used for good or for bad. You have a craving, you have such a passionate desire for a cheeseburger. I want that cheeseburger so badly. Every time I smell it, McDonald's is right on my route to work. I can't get to work any other way. What am I supposed to do? You find a different way. Maybe you should wear a mask. Nowadays in crazy times, you won't look so crazy anyway. And it'll block the nostrils, it'll block the waves, the smells. If you have two ways to walk to work, one of them goes through a district that you really shouldn't be walking through, whether it be because of the crazy smells of McDonald's or maybe there's gambling institutions, whatever. We don't have to put ourselves in a situation that's not good. We should avoid it and go through a better route, through a better situation. So everything can be used for the good and the bad, whether you're walking or you have technology. Technology so easily can be used for good or for bad. Social media destroys people. Just look at the crazy riots because of that terrible, terrible case over in the country, what happened to that terrible, terrible situation, what happened to that person. And now there's riots all over the place. People use it as excuses for terrible things, to riot, destroy everything around us. Social media, there's so much social bullying. There's so much crazy things, so much immoral things, so many horrible things that could be used with technology. But look at what technology can be used for. You can use it for Shiurim, YU Torah, OU Torah, Torah Anytime, Chazak, Shiur Enjoyment, everything out there, Daily Doses of Divinity, all of these crazy things, the Meaningful Moving Minute, all these things that are out there. There's so many great things, so many organizations, so many chesed organizations, so many things that live online and need that media, social media. So many, so much Torah, so much Marbitz Torah. They say there was never so much Torah learned as today, because when Hashem gives us something, He gives us our lives, He gives us our body, He gives us the technology, it should be used for that. If we didn't have such technology, I could never do the audio shows, the podcasts, all the shiurim that I do. If it was even 50 years ago, even 20 years ago, remember when internet was dial-up and it would go, it would take 20 minutes just to get online. Nowadays, we could record things, we could send it out, anybody could listen, Marbitz Torah. So we have within us the competing elements of our Nefesh HaBahami and our Nefesh HaSichli. We have competing within us the Ruchnis and the Gashmis. And in exile and Golas, it is so difficult to win with the Nefesh HaSichli over the Nefesh HaBahami, because we're in such a materialistic society. We're in such a materialistic culture. Let's keep up with the Joneses. Your house is so small. Why can't it be bigger? Why can't it be more like your relative? Why can't it be more like your neighbor? Why can't it be more like your brother, your sister, your cousin? Hashem gives you exactly what you need. And you have to realize that Hashem gives you what you need so that you could take your talents, you could take your abilities and bring it up to the higher level. In Israel, the land we're supposed to be in, the land that is for us, it's much easier to connect spiritually. Everything we have is being used for a better purpose. Every four amos is a mitzvah. Every four amos you walk is a mitzvah, probably even in your own house. And whatever you get there, you're happy, because Hashem's nachala, Hashem's land, that's where we're supposed to be. So if you have an apartment or your house, a semi-attached, whatever, that's where it's supposed to be. And there's not as much keeping up with the Joneses. I can't say that as a general rule, because of course there's different pockets of different cities that still are very affluent and still very much like that. But I feel like it's easier in that aspect. But we're supposed to take our Nefesh HaBahami and use it in the Nefesh HaSichli way. They're always competing with each other. But the best thing, the most wondrous thing, the most amazing thing to do is to take your animalistic urges, your animalistic desires, your animalistic passions, and gear them for the good, and gear them for the best, and take them and run with them. You have a crazy desire to eat, say a bracha, and make it into a beautiful festive meal on Shabbat or on Yom Tov. You have a crazy desire to speak in front of hundreds of thousands of people, do audio shows like we do podcasts like we do, or do Zoom Shiurim, Google Meet like we try to do. You have a crazy desire to go spread forth and do hundreds of other things. Make sure you do it in a Torah way. Make sure you do it in a great way. Take those basic needs and drives within you and run with them and feel like you could do something with them. If you love trains, then do something with the trains. We always talk about how you could take your talents and use them, but that's the point here. When the Sota had such a drive, such a need, it had to be done in the proper way. It shouldn't have been running off with the other person. Should have been done in the proper marital framework, the proper marital relationship and set up way that Hashem in His brilliance did, in the natural, proper way, just with the husband. Because the two competing aspects of the soul, the two competing aspects of the personality were way out of whack. The basic behemoth one totally went over the sichli one. And of course, all of us have these wars waging within us every day. Many times the behemoth wins over the sichli, and many times the sichli wins over the behemoth. What we're supposed to do is we're supposed to try to win as much as we can with the sichli over the behemoth. They say that the Yetzirah tries to shut you down, tries to take you over every single day. The Yetzirah tries to destroy you every day. And every day we're supposed to stand up and fight him, beat him down. The Yetzirah will never stop fighting you until the last day of your day on earth, until 120 years. But the goal is, like the pasuk, one of my favorite psukim, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. Even if you fall down, even if the behemoth won, the sichli rises up and you try and try and try again. That's why in the Torah, there are no personalities of people that are without fault. It doesn't make any sense, all these other walks of life. in all these other ways. They talk about people that were perfect, the Son of God, or they talk about Muhammad, the Prophet. They try to paint him as such a wonderful person. But if the real life, you look at how many people were destroyed, how many people he killed, and how many people, and what he did, talk about the Talmud, what they talk about Yeshu, his stories, not good stories. That's why the Torah doesn't have perfect personalities. All our leaders, starting all the way in Bereishis, had faults because they all were human. They all had the behemah versus the sichli. They all had the ability and had the innate need to fight. The Yehuda and Tamar story, Yosef almost being pulled by Eishes Potiphar. Everyone had their stories. Lot being pulled after such materialism to Sodom. And even in Sodom, he still tried to do Hachnasas Orchim because his sichli was still trying to point out. His sichli was still trying to come out. Because everyone, no matter how removed they are, has that pentelegid, has that selam elokim, has the divine spark. Even if they're so far gone, there's still some basicness to them that could still come out. That's why we talk about the David and Bathsheba story. That's why you talk about all these crazy stories, how Rahab saved Yehoshua and Kalev, or whoever the spies were in the time of Yehoshua. I don't remember who it was. Different things, and he actually ended up marrying Rahab, even though she was the owner of the inn. And all these crazy stories, and we talk about the failings of different leaders, we talk about the mistakes of different leaders, because we're supposed to learn from them, because they themselves were not perfect either. They had the two basic drives fighting within them also, just like us. They were on much, much higher levels than us, but doesn't mean they still didn't have to fight. They still didn't have to have the seichel overcome the behemah. The basic gashmius was always fighting the ruchnius. Even Yaakov understood how important gashmius was in some level. He didn't even want to leave a pot over. That's why he went back and had to wrestle with the angel. But each of them had their different aspects. You know, Avram and Yitzhak understood their society around this. They understood how their wife was going to be seen. They thought to say the sister instead because they understood around them. But even so, all the mistakes of the Avos, even Moshe, we learn about from his anger, even though that's a basic thing versus the Seichel. So many different people, so many different personalities in Tanakh. We learn about misplaced kindness from Shaul. We learn about Tshuva from David. Every different leader in our history teaches us how to fight the good fight, how to get up every day and try to overcome the Yetzer Hara with the Yetzer HaTov, and to use the Seichel to overcome the Behema. Because as this Pasuk points out by the Isha Sota, there are two drives, the Seichel and the Behema, that are always competing within us, and we have to do what we can to overcome the Behema, utilize the materialism for the good, raise it to the spiritual, take our Behema, use it in a Seichel way, use it in a Kedusha way, to be Marbitz Torah as much as we can in this world, to try to spread the good light, to try to spread the good messages of Torah, and whatever you can do to utilize any basic drive and basic need you have, to utilize it to make the world a better place, utilize it to be Marbitz Torah, that is a great thing to do. That's how you can take and unite the two. I always had this passion for radio, this passion for wanting to speak audio, not video, ever since college days, and that's what Hashem did. He allowed me to take it and utilize it for good things. In the past, it was for narishkeit, for stupidity in the college show, not for good reasons, not for the best kind of Torah reasons, but now you come back to the same place and you do it for a better reason, for better purposes, for Torah. That's real tshuva. That's real how to go about and go back to the same situation. Rambam says you go to the same situation, but you have the proper outcome, the proper result. That's tshuva. You stand in the exact same place, exact same test, and you withstand it. That shows that you really withstood the test. So my past was using the radio for dating crazy social reasons, and now instead using it for Torah reasons. So whenever you have your ability to take your basic drive of what you want to do and use it for the best and use it for the seichel, that's how you can unite the two. That's how we could take the two and bring it to a higher, loftier level. And it brings to mind the idea of what we're here in this world to do. We're supposed to fine-tune our midos. Ezehu gibor hakovish es yitzro. Pirkei Avos doesn't say that a strong man is Shimshon. A strong man is someone who breaks down towers and kills 3,000 plishtim at one time. The strong man is someone that conquers his passion. Someone that can conquer his midos, change his traits. It's harder to change a trait, to change a midah, than it is to build a city. Because that takes such internal strength. That takes such courage. It takes such determination. A person who's angered easily, a person who's very stubborn, a person that is not flexible, that's a trait that has to be worked on his whole life. A person that's arrogant has to work on it every day. A person that's miserly has to work on it every day. A person that's not so giving has to work on it every day. And that's what we're here to do. These are basic innate personality traits, basic innate things, part of the behema that has to be changed into the seichel, has to be changed. And once we unite the two and try to take whatever we can and make the world a better place, that's how we could do the best. And that's when Hashem gets really proud of all of us, as much as we can do every day. Join us next time as we talk the Audio DT with Reb T, and I'm your host, Reb T.